righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God.
You're promising
righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost.
Oh,
righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part?
WAIF-FM as a community radio station serves only to open its airwaves to responsible divergent points of view. The opinions expressed during this program do not reflect the views of WAIF, its staff, or board of trustees. The opinions expressed reflect my own views or the views of my guests. Thank you for listening to WAIF Cincinnati. Hello, hello, hello. God bless you out there. So glad you've tuned in. And we're going to talk, we're going to start off, I think, around, it's amazing, you get something that you think you're going to start with, and God changes it. So on the way down, all I heard was John 17. So my name's Rich, here with Jim, Mike, and Oscar are off today, and they're off with pay, by the way, too, so yeah. Well, we are here, and we're going to encourage you with the Word of God. How's that? What's going on, Jim?
Oh, gee.
Gee.
That stands for God.
Gee willikers.
I love coming down here because I don't have a clue where we're going to go, so well, I know it's got to be Holy Ghost all
God
the way.
God knows, right? Doesn't he?
Yeah.
He always knows what's going on if we just let him. Part of what we're going to talk about is trusting in Him. So we're going to trust in Him. And
good subject.
And we're not going to lean on our own understanding because our own understanding will mess with you. Because if it's not of spirit, then it, guess what? It's of flesh. It can't be anything else. So we're going to talk today about... In John 17, a topic that we need as individuals, as a body of believers, as, you know, the world itself, and that is unity. I mean, that's what Jesus talks about right here. In John 17, he talks in verse 20. Says he's praying, and he says, I ask not only for these disciples, but also for all those who will one day believe in me through their message. Okay, this is one day, isn't it? He said one day. Well, this is one day. It's a Wednesday, and so this must mean this is for us today. It says, I pray for them all to be joined together as one. Joined together as one. You don't see a lot of that out there. Yeah. And it's a shame. It's a shame. I just encourage everyone out there to stop the hate. Just stop it. You know, there's no place for it in the body of Christ. Whatever the hate is about, it needs to stop. He says, I pray. Man, when Jesus prays, it's a powerful prayer. I pray for them all. That means everybody. To be joined together as one, even as you and I, Father, are joined together as one.
You know, Rich, Jesus said, I only say those things that I hear my Father say.
Yep.
So the scriptures that you're reading right now, they're coming from the Father.
Yep.
Because he says, I don't say anything outside of what Daddy says to me, okay? And I only see those things that the Father wants me to see. So I take John chapter 17 very literally. I feel it's one of the most powerful chapters in the scriptures because it's a prayer of Jesus. It's not a prayer of riches or gems, although our prayers are heard too. But we know that when Jesus, whatever he spoke or whatever he prayed, we knew that he was praying the will of the Father. And to me, that's extremely powerful. And like John 17, Jesus says six times, I want them to experience these things. And, yeah. And that's where you're going with this thing. He wants us to experience these things, not just talk about them, but to walk in them. That's his prayer.
Yeah, he goes on to say, I pray for them to become one with us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that the world, here we go, folks, will recognize that you sent me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, folks, it doesn't get any simpler than that. And if the believers would stop the hate, guess what? Then we would show unity. It doesn't matter who's elected. Come on. I mean, there's hate on both sides, and it's, I'm just sick of it. I can't even turn the TV on. I mean, that's not the world Jesus wants us to operate in. He wants us, says, so that the world will recognize that you sent me. Well, let's face it. If you're going to be one with Jesus, let's take a look at Jesus for a second. Nobody was more forgiving. Nobody was more compassionate that ever walked this earth. Nobody loved any more than Jesus. Nobody was more intelligent than Jesus. Nobody on this earth ever was able to do the things that Jesus did. Nobody. He says, greater things you will do, but guess what? We got to become one with him in order for the greater things to occur. And I personally believe it's greater in numbers, not necessarily greater miracles. And we were going to talk about that a little bit later on, too. So it's unity. Don't get caught up in the garbage. There's a lot of garbage out there, and it's easy to get caught up into it. And that's not what the Lord wants. He wants unity. He wants everybody, all believers, to come together and be unified. And the only way that can happen is us pressing into the Lord and being sensitive to the voice of the Lord and listening for that voice. And because anything the Lord tells you is always going to involve love. It's going to involve forgiving those who harm you.
It's going to bring peace.
And it's well, yeah, that's what it ultimately brings. Right. But it's going to bring unity. It's going to bring unity. And that's different religions. you know, different races, different everything. It's all about unity. Man, it's just so simple. And I don't know. I've just, if I sound a little frustrated, I'm trying not to be, but it's just, when the body of Christ is divisive against each other, that's hard to take, folks. I mean, that really is. So we're going to lift it up a little bit, but I just had to get that out right now because I just feel that we all need to hear a message of reconciliation, a message of unity, a message of oneness, a message of hope, a message of peace, and put all this nonsense stuff that's going to pass away anyway. I mean, you know, the Lord wants us to fix our eyes on Him and Him only, not on politics or hatred or whatever. It's just Jesus is the only thing that can turn this thing around.
Well, you know, Rich, the Lord said that in the world we would have tribulation. He knew that. And He said that we're in the world, and Jesus was in the world. But then He came right back and He said, but I'm not of the world. That's a pretty potent statement. It would pay for all of us to really meditate just on that particular verse where Jesus says, you know, I'm in the world with the rest of you guys, just like you are, but I'm not of this world. Jesus was walking in a different dimension. He was walking in a different spirit than what the world is walking in. Obviously, you could see that the world is in total confusion right now. And frankly, there's even a purpose in that, too. I mean, there's still cause to have hope.
Oh, absolutely. We've got to have hope.
Yeah, because, you know, Isaiah chapter 60 said that darkness was going to cover the land and gross darkness the people.
But hope will never fail.
Right, but arise and shine, for your light is come. I know my dad, who was in World War II on a minesweeper, and he said they had a very strict policy when they were out there in enemy seas, basically, searching for mines. He said they were not allowed to smoke up on deck, particularly at nighttime, because at night, if you just have a cigarette out there, they can see it for miles when you're out at sea because the sea is pitch black. But the point I'm trying to make is even though we see darkness right now in the United States, and frankly, unfortunately, I believe it's going to get darker before it gets brighter, but it's going to get darker, but there's going to be a greater glory that's going to come with the darkness. So in the midst of the darkness, there still is hope. I just read a verse a couple of days ago, Rich, where he says, I'll give you treasures out of darkness. Mm-hmm. Wow. What does that mean? That means that God's people, even though we're going into this dark situation, okay, and perhaps it does get darker, the Lord's saying there's treasures in all this for you if you would just seek my face. It's going to be a glorious time for the people that are focused on the Lord, Rich.
And Jimmy said, arise and shine, for your light has come, mm-hmm. and the glory of the Lord has been risen. Where? Upon you. Mm-hmm. Upon you. So guess what? Maybe you're the only light that this world sees for that particular day or whatever. Maybe you're the only light that someone in the grocery store sees. Maybe you're the only light, can I even say this, that's in your church? I mean, you know, there needs to be light that we shine. I mean, just like that little song we sang as little kids, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And man, we need to let our light shine. What is that light? Well, it's the Shekinah glory of God. And you know what? In any, wherever the Shekinah glory of God was, there was no darkness.
Healing. Everywhere.
There was nothing but the goodness of God. I mean, the healing, the peace, the joy, all the fruit of the Spirit. You have a choice when you wake up every morning. Am I going to get caught up in the world and all the stuff that's going around, or am I going to let my light shine to anybody and everybody that I come around, that comes around me? I mean, go ahead.
Now, I'm just sitting here looking at a poem that the Lord gave me, Rich, a couple of years ago, and it goes right along with what you're saying, brother. You're talking about the glory of God. You're talking about letting the light of Christ shine through you. And the poem goes like this. I am giving you my glory. In other words, his presence, okay? Yeah. His life, the Christ life, the resurrection life. That is his glory. I am giving you my glory that you might see the glorious people that I'm calling you to be. I'm giving you my love that you might share, to let the world know that I truly do care. And as you share my glory that I have given you, it will bring the world to a place of seeking my glory too. And as the world does care and as the world does share, it will bring about a new heaven and a new earth to bear. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and truly I desire to fill it with all of my love.
That's good. Yeah, I mean, it's all about love, folks. Yeah. It's never changed. It never will change. Are you showing love? Are you showing love? It even says, pray for those who spitefully use you. It even says, love your enemies. Wow. I'm telling you, this isn't easy. It's not easy, but you know what? With God's help, you can do anything. You know, we're not limited to, you know, what we see. We have something so much more powerful than what can be seen. Psalms 73:28 says, but it is good for me to draw near to God. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. That's where your trust should be. That's where your focus should be. You know, if you're having a bad day today, if sickness has come upon you, if depression or oppression has come upon you, he's your refuge. He's your strong tower. And guess what? All you have to do is draw close to him and he'll draw close to you. And when he draws close to you, all that junk, all that garbage vanishes away, because when you're in his presence, there's nothing but fullness of joy.
That's the key.
So we need to be in his presence.
Focus.
Focus on his presence. Mm-hmm. Focus on him. Mm-hmm. Keep your eye on Jesus, because guess what? If you have your eye on him, you don't have your eye on all the other stuff. And you know what? Jesus wants you. He says he'll stick closer to you than a brother. So guess what? He wants you to be close to him. And he loves us so much that he resides in us. I mean, the Holy Spirit is in us. That is the temple of God. The modern temple of God is in people. It's not a building of brick and mortar.
Amen. Proverbs 3, Rich, verses 5 and 6 says, yeah, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's where we get into problems, brothers and sisters. You know, Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, you get down to the heart of you. That's the very deepest, uttermost part of you. And God wants you to turn that to him. It says, and lean not on your own understanding, because all the understanding that we've acquired in our 30, 40, 50, or 80 years of living in this earth was the understanding of the world. And the world's understanding is, it's bunk, you know. I mean, I know that we need to operate. We have to know how to drive a car and so on and so forth. So in that sense, that's understanding that we need. But God's talking about a higher understanding. And he says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. That's a beautiful verse right there. And that's the word of the Lord, you know?
Well, it also says in Psalms 118:8, it says it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man.
Yeah,
amen. You know, we don't put confidence in man. I mean, man will let you down, but God never will. He never will let you down. Hebrews 5:9 says, in this way, God qualified him as a perfect high priest. We know who that is. And he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. Guess what? there is a part that you have to play in this. You say, well, I've been a Christian all these years and I still feel depressed and I still feel, you know, the world is just closing in on me and whatever. Guess what? The old song even says, trust and obey, for there's no other way.
Mm-hmm.
There's
song.
No other way. Mm-hmm. That is the only way.
Well, there's Jesus, a hard way.
Yeah, there's a hard way and an easy way. The easy way is trusting in the Lord and quit trying to figure things out yourself. You know, Jesus is that way. There is no other way, folks. There is no other way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So the way is a person. The truth is a person. And the life is a person. And the breath of life came into you. And when the breath of life came into you, you became a living being. And you know what? That life came from only one source. And that's the Lord. So we just want to encourage you today. You're listening to Kingdom Building. And, you know, we just want to encourage you to, you know, to try to be in unity with your brothers and sisters and try to, you know, think upon things above, not things below, because the things below are temporal. They're temporary. They're going to go away. The things above are eternal. And guess what? You are eternal. And so you want to associate with the eternal and not with the temporal.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, like David in Psalm 56, I think it's David that wrote that psalm. It says, in God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, and I am not afraid. This is pretty cool here. What can mere mortals do to me?
Yeah.
What can they do? Like one guy said, they kill me, I go into glory. You know,
yeah.
What can they really do to you? What are you worried about?
Well, Jim, I think we're living in a time that if we just obey, you know, listen to the voice of the Lord and obey. And yeah, you can hear from the Lord walking down a busy street.
Sure can.
No doubt about it.
Absolutely.
But you know what? It's really special when you set time aside. I don't care how busy you are. I don't care how much time that you set aside. If it's 5 minutes, that's very special to the Lord. And you know, when you block all that stuff out, it's easier to hear that small, still voice when all that other stuff is blocked out. And it's so much easier to block it all out when you're in your prayer closet, sitting on the couch, you know, sitting at your desk, wherever it is.
Yeah, what does the scripture say about be still and know
that
I am God?
Yeah.
I think that's really the only way that you really become to know. I mean, there's a knowing, there's a know and a knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think many of us know the Lord, but do we know the Lord? You know, it's like,
we know of him,
right,
but do we know him?
Right. Do we know him like we know our wife or like we know our spouse, you know, intimately? There was a word that the Lord gave me some time back, and it says, sometimes it seems so difficult to understand the vastness of the Father's plan. But if you will get quiet and still, he would take you up on Mount Zion's hill, a place where only few have been. It's a place you can only find within. For you see, it truly is the Father's will to have you walk in peace and still. For only then can the world see the manifestation of the Father in thee. So be still and know that I am God in thee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
It's a great key right there to getting to know God, intimacy. Be still.
You know, and some of you have said, well, you know, I take that special time aside, but I don't hear anything. Mm-hmm. Well, if you want to get good at anything, you have to practice.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, you can't go out and be a great bowler by going out and bowling once a month.
Amen.
You know, Whatever the sport is, whatever, if it's, I don't care what it is, playing cards, whatever you like to do for fun, the more you do it, the wiser you get on how to accomplish what you intend to accomplish. So, but that takes practice. You know, and I'm not saying that you have to earn your way into his good graces. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the more time you spend, it's you, it's not him. He's speaking, you just don't have the frequency on.
That's
you
true.
Know, with WAIF, it's 88.3 FM. If you tune to 88.5 or 6, you're not going to hear us very clearly. So the more time we spend that quality time with the Lord, we practice that his presence, and we practice, you know, just being alone with him, you're going to see some astounding results down the road. You just got to start making that time for him. And guess what? You know, there's people out there. I happen to not be one of them, but they'll sit down and they'll have a conversation with the Lord, just like he's in the room, and just like we're talking to Jim and I are talking to each other right now. And you know, I want that. I want to have that communion with him.
Press toward the high calling.
Yeah.
That's in Christ Jesus. I think one of the reasons why people are afraid to get alone with God is they're afraid that God's going to make some kind of demand of them, you know?
I believe that.
Because that's the God that a lot of the churches have really painted the Father out to be, a real hard taskmaster. You know, they're always quoting the old scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, when everybody was under the law. But, you know, really what the Lord wants to do in that time of intimacy is he wants to show us now what we already possess, and it isn't what we have to give up, or it isn't what we have to do. God is interested in you finding out who you already are, okay? So, and in order to do that, since the world beats us down all the time, and a lot of times people don't have, they just don't have any encouraging words. But when you get with the Father, I'll guarantee you, you will not walk away from his presence without being encouraged. He does not bring you down. He does not slap you down. He's always saying, come up here.
He loves you unconditionally.
Yes, amen.
I mean, we say that all the time here.
Amen.
You know, but you don't know what I did last night. Well, guess what? You know, that's between you and the law. I mean, if you did something that really, really bad. But as far as the Lord's concerned, his love for you is not based on your performance.
Mm-hmm.
It's not based on your performance. He loves you in spite of your performance.
Yeah.
And sometimes our performance isn't that good. Mm. So thank God he loves us anyway.
I once heard a minister, Rich, say, and I never forgot it. He says, many of the people in the church, they suffer from spiritual performance anxiety.
Yeah.
In other words, we just don't
feel.
Yeah, they're not good enough. We're just not performing the way the Father wants us to perform, and he's displeased with us. And this minister, which was a beautiful sermon, you know, the minister was saying, stop suffering from spiritual performance anxiety. It's already finished. God just wants you to see who you are now, what your true identity is.
Well, Jim, I think so much of this is getting rid of the stinking thinking.
It is, absolutely.
I mean, we have been programmed throughout. If you've been in the church most of your life, you've been programmed. And I'm not faulting any pastor or any leader or whatever. You know, we can only operate in the light that God's given us. So I think we're in a new day. I think that light's getting brighter. We
absolutely.
Talk about darkness, but I think the light is getting brighter.
It is.
And I think the revelation of Jesus Christ is getting stronger.
It's growing, yeah.
I think he's given us that spirit of wisdom and revelation. And when you get the spirit of wisdom and revelation, guess what? He may be poo-pooing some of the stuff that you hung your hat on all these years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may think this is the way it is, and then when the spirit of wisdom and revelation comes, it says, that's not the way it is.
Yeah, and
it's so much better than that.
Yeah, and it's a spirit of wisdom and revelation and understanding into him,
right,
about him, who he is. And that's what That's the cry of the Lord's heart right now, is to reveal himself to his people. That's the main reason, Rich, like you and I were talking about when we came into the building. Yeah, he died on the cross to save you, but frankly, I think one of the greater reasons that he died on the cross was to reveal the love of the Father, because we all have this image of Father God that, you know, we're terrified. Many of us are terrified. I knew the religious house that I grew up in for 30 some odd years. I mean, you know, if I missed church on Sunday, that was a huge sin. I was on my way to hell.
And
you know,
you felt bad because of your conditioning and programming. So we need to let the Lord deprogram us.
Yeah, amen.
We need to let the Lord start pulling stuff out of us, out of our brain, that we thought was truth, but it really isn't truth.
Right.
It's the law.
Mm-hmm.
And the law of the Spirit of in Christ Jesus is freedom.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
liberty.
Bound by laws and rules and regulations and, oh, you better do this or God's going to be disappointed in you. That's not true. And you know, again, we're not, you know, getting on people. We're just saying, hey, there's more light. If that's what you believe, then look for the light, because there's more light there. And when that light comes and is shed abroad in your heart, man, you're gonna be like Jesus, because he said, when you see me as I am, you will be like me. We got to take a break here, and then we'll jump back at it.
Avoid sick people and touching your face. There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Okay, so we're back. And if you just tuned in, you're listening to Kingdom Building right here on WAIF 88.3 FM Cincinnati. And we're talking today mostly about what's in John 17. I'm going to continue that. And John 17 is about unity in the faith. I mean, we have to be unified. I mean, you know, it's just we don't want anything to get us apart and divide us. There's one God, and we all serve that one God. We don't serve 17 different gods. We serve one God, and he is the creator of all things. And in John 17, it really does put it together. I'm not going to repeat what we did before, but I will move on with John 17 and say what Jesus is praying for us. And you say, well, how can he pray for us when we weren't even born yet? Well, because he's God.
Because he knows the beginning from the end.
You got that right. I pray for them, that's you, to become one with us. Why? So that the world will recognize that you sent me. For the very glory, I like this, for the very glory you have given to me, I have given to them, so that they will be joined together as one. Man, it can't get clearer than that. There are families out there that are separated because of their political views. They won't talk to each other. That's sad. Mm-hmm. That's just sad. I mean, God wants us to be one. I mean, just for the time being, put aside all your political views. First of all, I don't talk about it. And second of all, I don't want to sway anybody to my view anyway. You have your own view politically, and I'm okay with that. It's okay, whatever it is.
Jesus is my president.
Yeah.
That's the only view
Jesus
I have.
Is the only one that counts. Yeah. The rest of this stuff will go away, man. All these...
It's all going to perish.
Yeah, it's all going to get burned up, you know?
Yeah, it says that we're serving a kingdom that will not pass away.
Right.
I mean, everything of this world, I don't care
will pass away.
Yeah, it is.
So
it's all going to pass
away. Don't get upset with your neighbor or with your friend or with your family member. accept them as they are and go fellowship, you know, go love on each other, you know. It goes on to say, well, I'll just read this again. It's so good. For the very glory you have given me, I have given them. Wow. So that they may be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. You live fully in me, and I live fully in them, so that they will experience perfect unity. Don't you want to experience perfect unity? I know I do. It's so much better. And the world will be convinced that you have sent me, for they will see that you love each one of them with the same passionate love that you have for me. That's our job out there, folks, is, you know, to love. I mean, Jesus said if you do these three things, really it's two, but you can add the third one if you want. It says that you are to love the Lord with everything you got, mind, body, soul, strength, and you are to love your neighbor as yourself. The reason I say three is you got to love yourself before you can love anybody else. Some people don't love themselves, and you need to love yourself, not in a sense of self being, I want my way, I want my way, selfish self.
Carnal self.
We're talking about you love the Jesus self that you carry around, because he is who your true identity is. It's Jesus Christ.
Well, I think that's the biggest key right there, Rich. You know, as much as we say that we need to love each other, we want to love each other, I don't think that we can pass that love on until we experience that love for ourselves from Christ in us. To me, that is the whole key. It's got to come from a Christ nature. There's, you know, like you were talking about before, we really have kind of a dual nature. You know, we've got that old carnal mind that's still in operation. And all it wants to do is serve self. Yeah. That's all it wants to do. You know, you looked at me funny. You know, what did you say about me? You know, it's all about preserving myself. But Jesus came and showed us another lifestyle. Okay, he showed us what love was. That was one of the main reasons why he came, was to demonstrate the love that he had for the creation. So again, I couldn't really love anybody until I had an experience with the Lord in a hotel room back on March 20, 1976, when the Lord actually manifested himself to me. And changed my heart in the twinkling of an eye. And one of the first things I knew that I had been changed is because I went home and my mother-in-law was babysitting our two children. And my mother-in-law and I, we just never really got along because I wasn't treating her daughter the way she felt that I should. And frankly, she was right. I felt so much love when I walked in that room and looked at my mother-in-law, and I never, ever felt love toward my mother-in-law, to be honest with you. But she and I turned out to be the best of friends, and I love Peggy. She's in glory right now with the Lord. But the only way that I could release that love inside of me was to, when I saw the Lord, I knew I was totally forgiven, and he had released his love for me, and I just couldn't bring myself not to love people anymore. When I experienced, there's that key word again, experienced the love of God for myself. That's the key.
Let's look up that word experience, just because that seems to be... Do you have it?
Well, I did, but go ahead.
No, go ahead. You got it?
Well, I've got one it says experience is the process of getting knowledge or skill from seeing or feeling things. The best way to learn is by experience. I know from it. Let me give some examples. I know from experience that Tony never keeps his promises. It's going to come. Experience is going to come through knowledge and seeing and feeling. And frankly, that's exactly how the Lord deals with us. You know, we see him, we experience him, we actually can feel him in our inner being. We can feel the love of God, really. when you start experiencing, again, that word experience just keeps popping up. And that's a word I don't think you can drive it home hard enough to the church right now in this hour. I don't think that people, a lot of my brothers and sisters, I don't think they expect to experience the Lord. It's like they had their salvation experience. And okay, I got my ticket punched out of hell and I'm going to heaven. And it's like, now all I'll do is just try and live as good a life as I possibly can. But frankly, when you get born again, that's when your life started.
Yep.
The resurrection life in you started. That was the beginning.
Yeah, there's a lot of definitions of experience, but one of them is the conscious events that make up an individual life.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, and the process of directly perceiving events or reality. See, the reality is not what you see.
Mm-hmm. It's a mirage.
No, it is.
No, it is.
The reality is not what you see in the in this realm. There's matter and there's energy. And the matter you can see, the energy you can't.
The spirit.
That's the spirit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's God.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we are. We are lowered. We are spiritual beings that have been lowered down into this dimension, into the dimension that we're walking in right now. And frankly, God's calling us back home. He's saying, come up here.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, gained knowledge through direct observation or participation. Some, you know, I had to, and maybe you do, maybe you don't, but I had to relearn stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I had allow the, and it's still in the process of my mind being renewed.
Especially religious stuff.
We got someone on the phone here. Let's patch him in. Okay, you are on the line here. God bless you. What can we do for you?
Hey, Rich, this is a Birdman from Hamilton, Ohio.
Hey, how you doing, Denny? What's going on? Yeah, I've been thinking about you.
Hey, I just wanted to testify because I missed part of your. I just got home, but I just got my Moderna vaccination, the first one to the city of Hamilton, and I'm sorry. And I'm sorry that I missed the 17th chapter of John. Is one of my favorite, where Jesus prays for himself, and I'm sorry that I missed that. That is. And I just wanted to praise God because he's been so good to me. He's healed me so many times. I wasn't deserving it.
Praise the Lord. That's a great testimony, brother.
And I just, you know, I just listen to you guys every week. And sometimes my antenna is not too good with all the stuff I put on it, but you've been coming in clear for the last, three, four months. But I just wanted to give you a call and tell you that I appreciate the job you do there. And I just wanted to say hey to you and praise the Lord.
Hey, thanks for calling, brother. We appreciate that, and so glad that you tune in every week. And we just we thank you for your support. I know you've been a financial supporter of the program and the radio, and we just thank you. God bless you.
Well, and I'm gonna support you more here. I guess I'll call back and get somebody on the line. I don't have that. I'm sorry. I still got a little old flip phone. Yeah, and I don't have that internet. I wouldn't want it. Don't need it. But if you got God, you don't need the internet. That's the way I look at it.
Got the internet.
Yeah. All right. Well, you guys keep doing the good work, and I appreciate it. I know that.
Well, thanks for calling in, and God bless you and the family, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Talk to you later, Rich. Bye.
Okay. If you have a comment or anything that you'd like to say, we can take your call, 749-1444. That's 749-1444. You know, maybe you have a comment. You know, maybe there's some wisdom you can pour into this conversation. So give us a call. It's 749-1444.
Yeah, Rich, I was just sitting here looking at a couple other verses. We talked a good deal about peace and trust, and we know the word of God is true. And in Isaiah 26:3, it says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." There's that word trust again. But the only way to find peace in this world, brothers and sisters, is you've got to keep your mind as best you can by his grace, actually. This is very difficult to do. I mean, this requires the grace of God. You know, you just say, "Lord, I need your grace in this area. Help me to stay focused." Not only taking 5 minutes out of my day to get intimate with you, or even an hour out of my day to get intimate with you. Those things are wonderful, absolutely. But we've got to start practicing the presence of God, because if the world continues to get more turbulent, we're going to have to take Christ with us wherever we go. I mean, we know he's with us, but we need to focus on him and understand that his presence and feel his presence. It says, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So the Lord right there, in wrapping up here, Rich, the Lord right there is telling you there's two types of peace. He says, "I'm leaving my peace with you." He said, "It's not as the world gives do I give to you. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So again, there's two types of peace. If you find yourself anxious, fearful, worried, you've just tapped into the peace that the world gives. And the Lord says, "I don't give that kind of peace."
Right.
The peace I've left with you, it's a peace that passes your carnal understanding. So he says, "Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace, for in the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world." Praise God. That's a good word right there to take to bed with you tonight.
That's a good word.
Yeah.
We're not doing it now, though. Yeah. That's a good word. Let me read Ephesians 2, because this is really, really good stuff. I mean, if you need a real boost here today, this is going to give it to you.
These are promises.
We are so blessed. And you know, you could spend your lifetime learning what your true inheritance is, because it's so broad and it's so big. But this is just part of it. You know, it talked about rebellion and childish things and whatever, and it says, "But God still loved us with such great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy, even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins." Here we go, right back to that word again. "He united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace. He raised us up with Christ and the exalted one, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm." I mean, come on. If that doesn't get you shouting, I don't know what will. It says, we ascended with him. Does that mean when you die? No. No, it means right now. You can ascend with him into these heavenly places. That's where you want to stay. If you can stay in the heavenly places, you're not going to get caught up in the worldly muck and mire of what's going on here. "He raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm." It doesn't say you're perfected at that point. I mean, we are perfected in the Lord's eyes, because he sees the beginning from the end. But even if you don't feel like you're perfect, guess what? That's how he sees you. And it goes on. It says, "For we are now co-seated as one with Christ."
Meditate on that.
I know. That's good news, folks. I'm telling you. Amen. And if we could just turn the TV off and start focusing on his word and start spending time with him, and let him bring his word forth in a today word that's over and beyond what you can read in the Bible. I mean, the Bible's great, but guess what? He's still talking.
Sure is.
If you have ears to hear, you're going to hear him speak today. And the Bible's great, but guess what? Wouldn't you like to hear him speak today? I mean, it said that Jesus, that what all the things that Jesus said, you couldn't put the volumes in, you know, you talk about a Cincinnati Public Library couldn't hold it all.
Yeah, you know, Rich, when you talk about Jesus speaking today, I don't think it's a question of, oh, Lord, will you speak to me? I think it's a question of you turning your spiritual radio on.
Well, it's back to that frequency.
Yeah,
you got to turn
it. That's it.
This is a frequency. You know, Denny Bird would not be listening to this program right now if he had not turned on the frequency of 88.3 FM.
All right. God is always willing to talk to his children. You know, if you're a parent and you're listening to my voice out there, how many times has your child come to you with a question or with a need or whatever, and you just totally ignored him and walked away from him? Well, I mean, I know that there's sometimes we feel like doing that with some children when they take a mood, but you know where I'm coming from. Your boy or your daughter, they know that if they come to you and they have a need or they have a question, they know that they've got your ear, okay? They're not going to have to come and beg you. You know, sometimes I get the impression that a lot of my brothers and sisters feel like they have to beg God to get his ear. You don't have to beg him to get his ear. His ear is always available to you. Always.
You don't have to beg him for anything,
no,
do you?
No.
He says that he gives gifts.
Yeah.
The Father of Lights gives gifts.
Yeah.
He loves bestowing gifts on us, yeah, and lavishing us with gifts.
Yeah. He said that he loves to give the kingdom to his children,
right.
You know? And since the kingdom is within you, there's a lot of there's a lot of wonderful gifts that God in this hour is going to be putting forth. All he's looking for is just for his children, really, to start looking to him. There is a place in Jesus Christ, it says, where very few have seen. It is the place of oneness and joy, where his love does reign supreme. It is the place in which we find the oneness of his being, the secret place we all have heard, a place that's been well hidden. But now we hear the Father's voice saying, for in this hour you now are bidden. So come up, my child, and hear my voice and see this place prepared to share my love, my peace, and my life, of which nothing can compare. So continue to shun the world and seek my face, for I am now bidding you into my secret place.
Yeah, we need to find that secret place. Everybody's got one.
Oh, yeah.
You can find it anywhere that you choose to find, to look for it. It's, if you ask, he'll provide it. If you seek, you're going to find it. And if you knock, that door is going to be open to you. I think we need to pray. I think we need to pray that that everyone here today, Father, in the name of Jesus, everyone here today, Lord, that you would give them ears to hear what we're saying here. And it's not anything that Jim and I say, it's what you say. It is your word and it is your desire. It's the desire of your heart, Lord, that we be unified, that we are in unity with one another, that there's no separation, there's no distinction. We are all one and in the Lord's eyes, and we are, and the world needs to see it. The world needs to see that we are one with the Lord. And so, Father, Lord, I think we need our hearts tenderized from time to time. And so, Lord, we just need to be tender and pliable before you, Lord, that you would change us and conform us into the image of your Son, and that we would be changed, and we desire the mind of Christ. We desire that mind, and we want to discard the stuff that's not of you and only take on what is you. anything?
Yeah, and this good prayer, Rich. That was Holy Ghost all the way. Yeah, I think that, you know, there was a time when I enjoyed going out and boozing it up and cutting up with the boys and all that some 40 years ago. But then one day when Christ came into my heart and the resurrection life came into my heart, all of a sudden I had no more interest in those things. What was it that brought about such a drastic change in me? It was when his nature came into me. But that was just the beginning of my experience with the Lord. I didn't say, oh, praise God, now I'm going to heaven and I'm not going to hell. I couldn't get enough of the Lord. I started reading the scriptures, hours on end. But that was grace. It wasn't anything I did through my own efforts. And that's what I feel the Lord is saying right now. And that's my prayer, that everyone that's listening out there will grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So much has been given to you, and all he asks is that you, the same amount that's been given to you, give out to others.
And it'll grow. He'll grow.
Yeah. He'll give grow. And it shall be given unto you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, that you have so much to offer the world. You have so much, and you need to ask the Lord every day, Lord, what would you have me do today? Who you're going to put in front of me, Lord, and what you want me to say? The easy part, if you don't hear from him, it's to love him. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. That's what the world needs now, is love, sweet love, just like that song back in the 60s. That's the only thing there's just too little of. Isn't that the way it goes? Now
don't spoil the whole program by breaking out in song.
I won't sing, trust me. What the world needs now. Okay, please don't turn your radio off. Keep it on WAIF Cincinnati. Anyway, we love y'all. And Jim, do you have any parting shots or a poem or anything to end the program on? If not, do you have anything?
I'm pretty well wrapped up the storehouse
okay.
right now.
So you've got everything all wrapped up and ready to head out the door for lunch. All right. Okay.
Well, I am Christian after all.
There you go. Yeah, Christians love to eat.
That's right.
That one preacher said, yeah, Christians love to eat. They seem to be late all the time. And what else was it?
Well, you know, I was out there with the sign said, I'll work for food. And you brought me on in here.
Yeah.
So it's time to eat now.
There you go. Hey, let's eat. So, okay. All right. We love you, Cincinnati. We love you, Northern Kentucky. We love you, Hamilton, Mason, whatever. Wherever you are, we love you. And Jesus loves you. And just don't make life more complicated than it needs to be. It really isn't that complicated. We tend to make it complicated. If we love and we give that grace, you know, the definition of grace is basically the divine impartation into our heart and the reflection of that grace into our life. Or out of our life, I'd like to say, because, you know, basically it's give what you've been given. And that is love, grace, forgiveness. If they're out there and there's someone comes to mind that you have not forgiven, make today that day. Make today the day that you call them up and you forgive them. You're not letting them off the hook for what they did by forgiving them. You're letting yourself off the hook because you're carrying it around. You don't need to carry that baggage. You forgive, that baggage goes out to the curb and Rumpke comes and picks it up.
Yeah, that's just something, Rich, that when you go to the altar to speak to the Father, the adversary can come and say, yeah, but you didn't forgive your brother.
Yeah.
You know, it whips the law on you. You know?
Yeah.
But we know that Christ died and nailed the law to the tree.
Amen.
So there is no law anymore. Praise God.
You are forgiven,
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Okay, praise the Lord. Well, we'll see you next week on Kingdom Building.
Righteousness, peace, war, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God.